Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello and welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Adam Studzinski today, our producer. He is in for Dan, who is in Washington, D.C., steadfastly working on his stories in what was a wild game. The Bears end up losing to Washington 18-15. Jaden Daniels with a 52-yard Hail Mary pass to Noah Brown. Devastation, walk-off win, elation in the nation's capital, and dejection right back here in Chicago. And there's just, it is studs. It is the most helpless feeling when your team or the team that one covers, that would be me, when you lose on a last second play like that, you just hope to God there's a flag. Is there something? Can somebody please help us? Like, you're out of favors. It's over. It's done. Nobody's going to help you. Washington's not going to have another penalty to call back another touchdown like they did a couple times in the game. There's no bailout on a Hail Mary.
Grody, man, I'll tell you, I sat there staring at my TV for a solid 5 minutes, just hoping that something would happen to make it different. Like, this is one of the most, I'm going to be a little dramatic here. This is one of the most devastating Bears losses I have ever experienced. I mean, this is in the top four. Like, there's the Super Bowl loss. There's a loss in the NFC Championship to the Packers. Yeah. There's the last play to Randall Cobb that Aaron Rodgers hit in the 2013, 2014, and the last game of the season to put the Packers in the playoffs over the Bears. And then there's this. Like, there's, I mean, like, I sat staring at my TV for literally 5 minutes, just like, trying to process what happened on that last play. Like, and you know, like if we're being like 100% real, the Bears did not deserve to win this game. You know, like, Caleb Williams wasn't good for a lot of the games, but he was really good in the fourth quarter. And they had the fumble on the goal line when they were trying to give the ball to Doug Kramer for like that right there just told you, like, man, they don't want to, or they don't deserve to win the game, excuse me. And like, I had to go on a walk, man. I had to go on a walk around the block. and actually, it wasn't just around the block. I went on a huge walk, like around the neighborhood. Like, I had to, dude, I was going through it that's, if we're just going like on the emotional level here, man, that was devastating. Devastating. And like, as we start to grill down though, like, as I said, the Bears did not deserve to win this game. So part of it might have been the football gods just kind of saying, hey, this is how it's going to be today.
Yeah. Well, Adam, one of the themes that Dan and I early on here as we just get rolling with the Take the North, and I've only done a few episodes with Dan since taking over for the great David Haw, who had just too many responsibilities to keep this puppy going. But one of our themes has been, it's the way you win. There have been too many fake seasons for the Bears where, you know, going back to, again, 2018, where all their wins were because of the defense. The offense did not contribute that year. And of course, you want the Bears to win. I wanted the Bears to win. We all wanted the Bears to win. But you're right. Had they won that game, there would not have been a lot of good to take out of it. It goes as a victory. But we know that there's been too many Bears seasons where you get victories like that, and then at the end of the season, you get your ass beat. You get crushed. And, you know, I'm not going to go through all of the litany of the seasons because we've done that on previous episodes. But the way you win is important. First, let's start with, and we'll get to Caleb Williams because I got a lot to say about Caleb Williams. You're right. It was mostly a bad day for Caleb Williams. Let's be honest here. But on the Hail Mary, and there, nothing has been revealed as to who was actually culpable for the play. But what Matt Eberflus said was that it is supposed to be like a basketball box out. The rim guy knocks the ball. There's a back tip guy behind the pile. That was the problem. There was nobody behind the wide receiver, Noah Brown. I don't know who was supposed to be there, but in the frame were the potential guilty parties. You know, Kevin Byard was in front of him. Jalen Jones was in front of him. Tyreek Stevenson, who had an interesting day, was in front of him.
Yeah.
Elijah Hicks, 22, was there. Now, just slightly out of the picture were Jalen Johnson and Tremaine Edmonds. I don't know what everybody's jobs were on that play, but studs, there was nobody behind the receiver. That is a mistake on the defense's part.
Yeah, yeah. You know, look, Matt Bowen tweeted a picture of how to defend the Hail Mary after this game, and he said exactly what you were saying, is there's supposed to be, like what Eberflus was saying, there's supposed to be somebody back there as the basically the last line of defense, the last person back there. And they, whoever's assignment it was, wasn't there. And there's, you know, like defending the Hail Mary is not hard. The coaching point is knock the ball down. And I'm going to be honest, man. Like, I don't know if you've seen the play or the video that I actually just, I got sent right before we started recording of Tyreek Stevenson taunting the crowd.
Oh, right, I see that.
Man, Tyreek Stevenson had a rough day already, and he's the one who the ball bounced off his hand on that
hill. Yeah. It hit off his hands and into Brown's hands. Yep.
Man, it's not a good look for him. And you know, he got to, I don't know what his job was on that play. Like, maybe his job is to just be where he was supposed to be, right? But like everything leading up to that play is a bad look for Tyreek Stevenson.
Well, and
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you're right, Stevenson, and I even mentioned him at the beginning. Yeah, he was beaten badly by Terry McLaurin on the 61-yard bomb. And then I don't know if he was benched or if something happened, but all of a sudden Terrell Smith came into the game. Stevenson did make a good play on that Zach Ertz play, that the would-be touchdown, which I thought was going to be a touchdown. But then the catch by McLaurin, and he got hit with a personal foul, and then that little battle was going on. So yeah, it was mostly a rough day for Tyreek Stevenson, and most of it self-inflicted, it felt like.
Yeah, he did not have a good day, like just straight up. And you know, the play on Zach Ertz that you were talking about, the would-be touchdown, was really good. He stuck with the play, he got the ball out, like that was really good. But for the most part, man, he had a rough day, and it's not like he had a physically rough day, like as far as like plays on the field. He felt like he had a mentally rough day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the personal foul that you just mentioned, the Hail Mary, I don't know, again, what his job is supposed to be on that play, but Matt Eberflus made it sound post game like somebody is supposed to be the final line of defense there. And look, man, on a Hail Mary, when the ball is 3 yards short of the end zone, there's no way that it should reach the anyone behind you. I mean, someone's got to be back there. Like, so like it's an unacceptable play as far as the defense, this defense that's supposed to be like, man, this is what made it so devastating. I was so confident that like, of course this defense isn't going to let up a Hail Mary.
Right,
like, why would they let up a Hail Mary? They're so good. These defensive backs are so good. Why would they let this happen? And then that happened.
I think one other thing that has to be noted on the Hail Mary, and then we can move on, is that if you go back and watch the defensive line, man, Jaden Daniels did a number on the defensive line. Now, they looked, quite frankly, the defensive line looked gassed. They looked helpless. Jervon Dexter got knocked down on a block and just kind of sat there. And part of me understands it, because they're probably, look, it's a Hail Mary. 99% of the time, this doesn't work in the NFL. But, I mean, now you have to look back. And I think a lot of that was Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels was amazing today, considering what he was going through. And I don't think the Bears properly took advantage defending him. There were too many times where Jaden Daniels used his feet to get first downs and big plays. He was 21 of 38 for 326 yards and a touchdown. But it's almost like this was just that last play. I don't think I've ever dissected a Hail Mary like this, where you can look at every position group and say there was some culpability, some responsibility in it.
Yeah, and you know, like, I know that some people were pointing to a could-be hold against the Commanders on that last play, but you know, like, hey man, here's the real thing with Hail Marys, man. Just blitz. Like, don't let them get, like, it was a 52 yard play. Like, send five guys and don't give him the time to do that. And if he's able to, you know, throw for 30 yards and they have to defend the last 20 yards, then play that way. Like, I will never understand why teams don't send multiple guys on a Hail Mary play. Like, don't let the receivers get time to go downfield.
Yeah,
but that's a side point. as far as Jaden Daniels today, like, you know, yeah, like he had all the 326 yards you mentioned, but the Bears defense in large part held him in check. And, you know, yeah, he had a couple third down conversions that you mentioned. That was really impressive, where it looks like they had him contained and he takes off, and you see like why he's been such a good player this year. But for the most part, like, man, the defense played well enough to win. Offensively, as we get into this, man, I don't know what the hell they were doing for the first three quarters. Like, honestly, I do not know like what was going on offensively. DeAndre Swift had a really good run to give them their first touchdown. Yeah. Other than that, it was just like mind-boggling. There was no going into a game where you're playing a weak secondary, which is like the Commanders don't have a good secondary. There was no quick slants. There was not even like screens or something to get like some quick completions. It looked like it just looked unorganized. It looked more like what we saw against like the Texans, you know?
Well, I would say part of that, and Caleb Williams, 10 of 24, 131 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Shane Waldron had a bad day. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Part of it, though, especially very early, it was Caleb Williams. I mean, the slot, like, well, the first drive, bobbled snap, and I think that was on Caleb. It may have been a little bit high. There's a delay of game penalty, probably some culpability with Caleb there. Second drive, the overthrow to Roma Dunze, overthrow on a screen to Keenan Allen where there was space.
Yeah,
like, he could have gone a long way down the field. He missed to Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett ain't getting targeted a whole hell of a lot in these games, and he was targeted. It was a bad throw to Gerald Everett. Second quarter, Caleb Williams taking a 15-yard sack. You can't do that. And, quite frankly, I know we went through this with Justin Fields, but Caleb Williams was not making quick decisions for the first three quarters, and some of that may have been the offensive line. Like, that's something that I'm going to have to go back and look more closely, and we'll get into some of the injuries on the offensive line. But this was one of those games where they did not get away with the slow, rusty start, whereas the last few weeks where they had bad, kind of embarrassing starts with the offense, starting with Caleb Williams, they got over it, they got through it, and this is one of those times where you are playing a better team, a good team, a hungry team at home, and the Bears did not get away with those mistakes.
No, they did not, and yeah, like you were saying, man, like Caleb wasn't good for three quarters, and part of it was the protection, I think. And you know, like, look, man, Karan Amagaji had a rough day out there. So Karan Amagaji came in for Braxton Jones at the end of the first half, and he played the rest of the game. And you know what? Like, it seemed like when he knew his assignment and was confident in his assignment, he was fine. But if he had any question about what he was supposed to do on the play, it was rough. And you know, they lose Tevin Jenkins midway through the game also. Yeah. And, you know, like honestly, like I wanted to actually like give a small shout out to Tevin Jenkins, because when he first got hurt, Bill Murray comes into the game. And then Bill Murray got hurt, and Tevin Jenkins came back in, and he was gutting it out. You could tell he was, and then he had to eventually leave because he was too hurt.
Agony in the goal line play.
Yeah,
he falls backwards.
Yeah, yeah. The goal line play to. All right. Do you want to get into that, by the way? The Doug Kramer.
Yeah.
Like, we should probably address that.
Let's get that. I will give Amagat, just because he was bad. I mean, he had a rough time. It almost looked like he wasn't ready at left tackle. To the Bears' credit, well, I don't know if they had another choice. I know some people were calling for Matt Pryor, but Matt Pryor is a guy who was a tackle in the NFL in a previous life, and it didn't go well. So you're not going to string him outside. I will say that Amagaji did have some key blocks on the DeAndre Swift.
He did. DeAndre Swift touchdown. He had a really good – he did really good on that. Again, like when he's confident and he knows what he's doing, he looks like he can be – like, you know, eventually a good NFL player.
I think he will eventually be good. Yeah, I do. I think he's got all the makeup.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things. It's so unfortunate that he got forced into the game because Larry Borum wasn't quite ready to go yet not today, active. It looks like. Yeah. And Nate Davis, obviously not active today, and I don't think he'll ever be active again for the Bears. So you have a lot of moving pieces out there. But He was bad enough to hurt the offense. Karan Amagaji was in some really key situations. And then what we were getting into, the goal line play with Doug Kramer, all right, I want to get your thoughts on that because here's the thing. Hear me out on this. I don't hate the play call. I hate it in that specific situation when you've had trouble moving the ball all day. And obviously, we all knew, I think, at some point that Doug Kramer's going to get handed the ball off because that's just how these things go, right? When you've got an offensive lineman in that situation at fullback, like eventually they're going to give him the ball because it's fun and everyone recognizes that it's fun. In that situation, though, come on, man, just give the ball to Roschon Johnson and get the touchdown and move on. Like, what are we doing here, man? Like, you can't be messing around when you've been having the trouble, trouble moving the ball the way that they had. Just hand the ball to Roschon Johnson and move on from there.
There was such a, now that you bring that up, it was such a fine line on that play and the Hail Mary, a fine line between devastation and elation, because had Doug Kramer taking that ball in, it's folk hero time, like as if wasn't. And we've been playing it up on the score, and I've been complicit in that. So I'm going to be honest with you. While it's easy pickings, of course, 68 should probably not be getting the ball in a high pressured game for the first time in his life. But I guess I was not punching things at that point. I was like, this sucks. And maybe I need to process that still a little bit, but I mean, I did not have an issue with it. Now, it is sort of weird too, though, that what looks bad now is, and maybe not tomorrow, is that they just cut Kari Blassen game. He's actually the fullback because he was made expendable in the Bears' minds by the fact that they've been doing what they've been doing with Doug Kramer. Maybe they throw Doug or Cole Kmet or Gerald Everett back there. So it's almost like the Bears they put the discount guy in there and it didn't work out. So I am not as mad as everybody else about that, because I know how I would have been had he gotten that right. What was really disappointing was on that drive, because this is where it got good for Caleb Williams. We talked about some of the rough moments for Caleb Williams, and that is justified. But then we saw some elite out of Caleb Williams. Did I say Justin Fields? I meant Caleb Williams. Fourth quarter, it's going to happen. I give myself like 20 of those for this year. Once I hit the 20 mark, then you could start finding.
Then it's unacceptable. All right.
Yeah. Then maybe suspend me for a couple days on Take the North. Like if I continue to swap out the names. But fourth quarter, it's 12-7 Washington. Caleb Williams makes an elite pass to DJ Moore. Then he has a connection with Cole Kmet. And then somewhere along the then the Doug Kramer play, the fumble, the next drive, a 3rd and 10 to Roma Dunze for 16 yards. And then a pass that he has done twice now this year, where he is running right, eluding pressure, looks like he's going to either throw the ball away or at the very least throw the ball down the sideline. Instead, throws across his body into the middle of the field where Keenan Allen is. And I don't remember against whom or to whom he threw it, but he had a similar play. So there were at least two elite plays in the game by Caleb Williams as the game went on. So it was kind of disappointing that it ended the way it did.
Yeah, see, so in the play you're referring to from the last game against the Jaguars would have been to Cole Kmet when he did that.
Yes,
yes. The same thing. Yes. It was basically the same play. And yeah, so that's honestly probably the most disappointing thing about this loss, Grody, is the fact that we were robbed of, man, Caleb Williams played bad for three quarters, but then came alive and got them the win.
Yeah.
And we were robbed of that. And you know what? Like, we can sit here and we can walk away and say, like, man, he played his part well enough in the fourth quarter to get them the win. Yeah. And they lost on this freak play. But and at the end of the day, all that matters is the loss, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was good. So good to see him come alive. Like, he was willing them to victory in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, it was awesome to see. I mean, I got goosebumps watching him when they thought they had won the game and he's pumping his fists and he's like legit happy. I'm like, that's our freaking quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I was the same way. And I think again, like going back, like that's what made what happened at the end so devastating was like, oh man, like we saw it. We saw, like, how many times were we begging Justin Fields to go win the game when he had the ball, you know? And Caleb Williams makes all these great plays that you just ran down, and it was just like, oh, man, they lost on this this unbelievable. Like, if you run that play 50 times, that's the play that happens once, you know? it just sucks, man. Yeah. It sucks so much. But, man, you know, like,
I know, man. Hey, one of the things I needed to know before we did the show, and like I said, Weir is just like this. There are so many storylines that he's bouncing between locker rooms right now and podium,
right.
All that stuff. So we're freeing him up. But I was like, I had to ask Studs, are you emotionally available? Well, you're available. Are you emotionally available to do the show? You're doing a pretty good job, kid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm getting real, real raw here, man. Like, I had to walk around the block. Like, I know I said that earlier. Like, I had to, there was a good 5-10 minutes where I was like, didn't know how to, like, I didn't know what to say. And I'm home alone right now. So I was like, I don't know. I was like, what do I, like, who do I talk to? Like, I don't want to call my dad because I don't want to yell right now. But like,
you're hilarious.
Like, I wanted to call my grandma or something. Like, grandma, I can't really, like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what like I need a hug or something, man.
You're hilarious, dude. I was thinking about your fiance. I'm like, God, I hope. Yeah, I was like really impressed with you thinking, okay, your fiance does not need you yelling, so get out of the house, but you're home alone. But
she's at work right now.
Okay.
She's at work right now. Yeah. Okay. And it's very fortunate that she was, because I don't know if we would be together anymore if she saw me. How I was handling the end of that game, man. It was bad. It was really bad.
few bullet points before we get out of here. Yeah, the defense, you know, they bend but don't break again. I mean, bend but don't break makes me nervous, but guess what? In this version of the NFL, that's what defenses do. If you're not letting up touchdowns, then you're doing a terrific job. Still too many big runs given up. You know, Brian Robinson, like on what I think it was their first drive, had a 19-yard run, had a 9-yard run, kind of set the tempo. You know, a bunch of guys got in on the, you know, Austin Eckler, 50 or 60 yards, Brian Robinson around 60 yards, Jaden Daniels, who is going to run up, you know, going to get massive rushing yards for a lot of teams, that it's somewhat understandable, but a little bit disconcerting. And I think it was Jason Leisure who asked at the press conference about, isn't this disconcerting because next week you go up against Kyler Murray, another running quarterback, and they didn't handle this guy particularly well in that regard. That's in my, I don't know if you have any other critiques about the defense. It's really hard to be critiquing the defense on this day,
but
there are some things. We talked about Tyreek Stevenson, but just still too many big runs against this defense.
I think that you summed it up pretty well. Like, they, you know, they only gave up 18 points, and obviously the Hail Mary is like, look, really they gave up 12 points and then the Hail Mary happened. And like, that's a freak thing. Like, they executed the, what they call the Tampa 2, basically to perfection. Like, we're gonna give up some yards, but we're just gonna give up field goals. They didn't get any turnovers this game, which is the first time this year they didn't get any turnovers. But like, that's what they do. Like, we're gonna make them walk the field, and we're gonna play great red zone defense. and then the Hail Mary happens. So, like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not mad at the defense at all today. Like, I think the defense played well enough to win. Even with the Hail Mary, 18 points, you should win the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should absolutely win that game.
Right.
And so the unfortunate thing is, like, like you said, the Cardinals up next. Like, you got to – that's – the Cardinals, I think, are about on the same level as far as talent as the Commanders. So you – that's a game that now, man, you have to win that game.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate thing. You because you lost this game the way you did, that game is one you have to go win. You absolutely have to go win that game. So
I agree because the gauntlet's coming soon. I mean, you've got you're at Arizona, home against New England. I mean, that should be a victory too, but then you're home against Green Bay and Minnesota back to back, and that's when it's happening.
And then Detroit on Thanksgiving, 4 days after Minnesota, right? So it's a real gauntlet. And you lost pace this week. You lost pace, like, as far as the division, everyone in the division besides the Lions has two losses still. So you got the Lions with one loss, and then Minnesota and Green Bay with two losses, even though Jordan Love left the game with a groin injury earlier. You're behind the pace. You're behind the pace right now. So you have to win the next two games to keep pace. Otherwise, the playoff hopes are going to get diminished really, really quickly.
Yeah. Detroit, I'll just run it down. Detroit 6-1, Green Bay 6-2, Minnesota 5-2, and the Bears in the basement at 4-3 right now. Their three game winning streak is over. The L1 has arrived. The Bears are 4-3 overall as they lose to Washington 18-15 on a Hail Mary. Studs, are you going to be okay the rest of the night? I'm about to get us out of here. If you need any emotional support from me at this moment or anything else you want to get off your chest, otherwise I'm going to I'm a little worried with you being alone. So you just let me know if you need anything, okay?
I'm all right. This is actually a good vent session. This is a good vent session. I feel a lot better. Feel a lot better, you know. Like this was good. This is good.
Okay,
this is what they call accepting. That we're at the acceptance stage of grieving. We're at the acceptance stage. So I'm good. I'll be fine. Okay,
you're moving through the steps. Thank you to Adam Studzinski, who filled in admirably for Dan Wiederer, who is in Washington D.C. We'll hook back up with Dan later on this week on the Take the North podcast. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing and responding and giving us feedback, whether you like it or not. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Mark Grody. We'll talk to you later on the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Bears.